It's time to tip off the college basketball season.
Tip in! Ball game!
From Green Bay,
the 10th head coach in Green Bay men's basketball history, Doug Gottlieb,
to Madison.
Blackwell is just in another world right now. Right now he's on fire.
And Milwaukee.
Marquette Leonard, Sweet 16!
This is ESPN Wisconsin Coaches Week, featuring Wisconsin head coach Greg Gard, Marquette head coach Shaka Smart, Milwaukee head coach Bart Lundy, Green Bay head coach Doug Gottlieb. Here's Alex Strofe.
Coaches Week on ESPN Wisconsin rolls on live. Alex Strofe hanging out now with Wisconsin men's basketball head coach Greg Gard joining me, entering his 10th season, 9th full season as the Wisconsin head coach. Greg, first off, appreciate the time. And imagine, you know, in the world of college athletics we live in, I don't know how much sleep you got this offseason, but you ready to go? You amped up for season number 10?
Yeah, we are, definitely. Offseason did not start quite as fast. I think with the portal and everything going on in college basketball, the season at the end last year after we got knocked out went on another 60 days with retooling the roster, so to speak, for this year. But I really like this group. I think we're vastly undervalued on the open market, and that's just fine. Our best teams sometimes have laid in the weeds. But I like how this group has come together. A lot of different pieces, a lot of versatility, a lot of size, a lot of depth. So I'm excited to see where we can take this.
I love that you say that. Some of our best groups have laid in the weeds, right? Do you like kind of being that underdog, somebody that maybe not all eyes on you? Is that the way you like your program?
No, I think I've watched that for, you know, the better part of 25 years here. Just I'm not sure we get, you know, and this is probably nobody's fault, but I'm not sure we get the same attention and spotlight put on us as other programs across the country, but at the same time have had the same or more success. So I'm fine with it. You know, we have a saying with our group, chatter don't matter. So we just, you know, we know we got to go to work every day, and it's really a results oriented profession and business. So we're excited for November 4th to get here when we can, you know, continue to improve and show everybody what we got.
How do you evolve with the game that is fastly evolving, right? You just mentioned, you know, it probably took 60 to 75 days to retool this roster. You had 8 guys last year enter the portal, Greg, and obviously you bring in some really strong freshmen, you know, led by Freetag. You bring in 3 really good transfers. But how do you evolve as a head coach? I mean, you've been doing this a long time. As this game continues to evolve, how do you do it?
Yeah, I think, you know, the benefit I have is I've had the experience of the years of yesterday or the ways of yesterday, but yet I'm young enough and have surrounded myself with people on my staff. And quite frankly, I've shifted the kind of the makeup of my staff to accommodate this, that I'm able to adapt and adjust and not get, I don't want to say callous, but not stay negative about it and throw your arms up in the air and go, what the hell? You know, and be proactive instead of reactive and staying ahead or at least up with how things have changed. So my staff has done an awesome job. I think the combination of all guys that have come from a variety of different places and levels, along with the you know, Joe Krabanoff and Sharif Shambles, who have been with me for a few years now. It's a good combination to be able to adapt and adjust to today's new landscape.
Do you mind elaborating? What do you mean by you've kind of shifted your staff to accommodate the portal and all the intricacies? Do you have certain guys maybe looking at the portal more or doing more internal recruitment?
It's not just the portal, Alex. It's just this whole world of roster transformation and knowing that you're most like, I look at like we've become pro sports.
Yeah.
So when was the last 2-year back-to-back combination? Here's what I'll ask you, and you may know the answer to this better than what I've gotten from other people I've asked this to. When's the last 2 years in a row that the Packers have had the same 2 deep on both the offensive and defensive side of the ball?
I would guess long before you and I were born would probably be my answer.
Yeah, it just doesn't happen. So we have to understand and embrace and realize we're in a different time, and there's going to be some transient nature to your roster. And having a mindset and an approach to be able to say, okay, here we go. Here's our next options. Here's where we're going to plug and replace. And, you know, it's different than the NBA or Major League Baseball, NFL. You don't have everybody being a free agent every year. in college athletics everybody is right now until we get some sort of structure around this. So you have to be able to roll with that and embrace that. And I think between the staff combinations, having pro basketball experience, a variety of different levels that they've been at, player development is a piece I've added with Greg Steams. I'm bringing him from the Spurs. So it's been able to adapt and adjust to, stay in step with where we're at. And obviously the NIL world, you have to stay competitive in that. And that's been a new facet that's added to our plate that, and having guys on the staff that understand the importance of that and embrace it and run to it instead of run from it.
That's so good, dude. Appreciate the insight on that. Let's talk about a couple of your returners. Let's start with Max Klesmit, because I think, last season he had so many great moments for you guys, especially I think it started in non-conference play, that Marquette game at the Kohl Center. Right. And then you just saw it evolve into conference play, evolve into the Big Ten tournament. I imagine you're really excited for both his leadership role off the court and on the court here this year for Kles.
Yeah. He's taken it to another level. I mean, he's become an elite shooter, quick trigger guy. He's going to get a lot of looks. But I think the one thing I've watched just evolve over his 3 years, it's gone from, do I fit in? How do I fit in? Do I have a voice? When do I use my voice? To now he's commanding that locker room and he's commanding those huddles. So that's a maturation and a comfort you'd like to see happen with guys. And he's definitely taken those steps, but he's tough as nails. He's a lot like guys in that role of the past, the Davisons, the Showalters, the Gossers that have helped us win a lot of games. But Max is playing right now at a pretty high level. And like I said, he shoots it really, really well. He's put a lot of time into it. So I'm excited for him to have an awesome senior year.
How about a sophomore jump for another guy in that backcourt? John Blackwell. Seems like he's taking,
yeah,
he's
you knew where I was going. Yeah, he has. I mean, I've compared him publicly to Johnny Davis in terms of how he's evolved, and he's different than Johnny. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying he's going to be a lottery pick and all that, but just his mindset. I watched Johnny come back in year two and have a mindset of I belong and I'm the best player on this floor and nobody's going to stop me. John has that same approach, and I really watched that kind of evolve this summer. And a lot of times when freshmen get that year under their belt, so to speak, and they become sophomores, you see that, and you see a mindset shift and a growth of trying to survive to thriving. And John has really, I think, taken that. And the experience that he got last year, I'm the fool that didn't play him more than 22 minutes a game. I should have played him 30, probably would have won more games. But he just impacts winning in a lot of ways, and he's a great kid, humble, really too soft-spoken for me yet. I need him to have more of a voice, but, man, he knows how to score, and he's a great team player.
I know the last couple of years you've gotten a lot of questions about playing Nolan Winter and Stephen Crowell at the same time. It seems like Winter, at least according to the roster, put on 15 pounds this offseason. Is that something you're looking to do in the front court with those two guys?
Yeah, I think the biggest drawback or what held us back from that a lot last year was Nolan couldn't guard fours. And I think now he really wasn't physical enough to guard fives. So we played him there some, but it was – We were biding time, so to speak, just because of his not being ready for the physicality. I think the strength component, the weight component has helped both those positions. It's helped his mobility at the four and his ability to stay with mobile fours and switch ball screens and those things. And then he's more physical and more aggressive. And quite frankly, the confidence that he'll get from playing at the four will help him at the five. Just with a mindset shift like we talked about with Blackwell. But, man, he's 7 feet and can move, block shots, shoots it really well, really skilled for that size. He's still a pup. You can tell just he has some baby giraffe moments. But he's going to be a really, really, really good player. It may happen in November. It may happen in February. It may not happen until 2026. I don't know. But I like where he's going. He's got the right approach. His dad was a beast at Minnesota, back in the 90s for them, for the Gophers. But he's built different than what Trevor was and how Trevor played. But I keep encouraging him to get some of his dad's nastiness, because his dad didn't take a back seat when it came to physicality. So I'm excited to see where he can go. And there's going to be ups and downs. There's going to be some bumps in the road for him. He's going to get his butt kicked a few times, but I like how he keeps jumping back up and sticking his face back in it.
I love your realism, man. Baby giraffe. I'm going to have a hard time watching him and not think, oh, yeah, that's the baby giraffe moment Gardo was referring to there. That's awesome. What's the ideal point guard for Greg Gard? I mean, obviously, you've had some really good ones during your time in Wisconsin, and obviously lose a great one in Chucky Hepburn to the portal. What do you look for in that position?
Leadership. And ability. I don't put a number of points they have to score. You better take care of the ball or you won't be on the floor long. And that really doesn't matter what position you're at. Not that you have to be perfect, but we have to be, I always say, be responsible. When the ball's in your hands, the keys to the program are in your hands. So be responsible with it. And the guys I've had there, I think the older guys, Kamari McGee has done a really good job of embracing that and understanding that, and his growth just has been fun to watch. I think the other newcomers, Freetag and Cam Hunter, are learning how important taking care of the ball is, and just how it impacts winning and the bottom line of this. So those are probably the two most important, really the leadership and how can you command. I was saying that's why I have such an affection for football players and specifically quarterbacks. If you can command a huddle of 10, you'll have no problem with four on the floor. So just that command of the floor, and I've had really good ones from, all the way back to Koenig was one of my first ones when I took over. Demetric Trice was a football quarterback. Brad Davison was a football quarterback. Just guys that have command and aren't afraid to lead.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I didn't even think of the correlations as football quarterbacs. That's fascinating. Greg, this new look Big Ten is fascinating to me, but clearly through the 10 minutes we've been talking, you don't give a damn about the changes, right? You want to embrace the change. 18 team Big Ten, though, that's a unique one. How do you prepare for that? Because I know even since when you were an assistant with Bo, kind of the goal was always top four in the Big Ten. Does that change as the conference grows?
No, I don't think so. I mean, the unique part of this, Alex, is, when I started with Bo, and compared to now, the conference almost doubled in size.
Yeah, right.
There was 11. There was 11, where that little Big Ten logo with 11 in the middle actually was relevant. Now it's Big Ten times two. So the goals are still the same. You still want to win the Big Ten championship. I mean, being in the top four was never the goal. The goal was winning the Big Ten championship. So if you weren't at the top at the end, then you didn't reach your goal. So, no, the goals don't change. I mean, I think it's great for our league. I think it's great for, obviously, for us. We're, from a travel standpoint, everybody gets wrapped up in the travel. Mm. It's the same for everybody. Really, it's not the same for everybody. We're in a really good position being in the Midwest. So it's going to be really competitive. I can't name you five players on anybody else's roster, even the returning Big Ten teams,
really?
Because there's been so much movement at every school. Probably ourselves, Purdue, Michigan State, maybe Northwestern might have the most returning that actually wore a uniform for that school last year. But everybody else, between new schools to the league and even in those new schools, there's been a lot of musical chairs going on in terms of rosters. So we'll approach it when we get to December 3rd and Michigan's the first Big Ten game. We'll learn all about Michigan, and we'll knock them out, 20 games or one at a time through 20 games. And nobody's going to have it any harder or any easier than anybody else. I'm almost a proponent, Alex, to, I think with where college athletics, specifically at the Power Five level, is going, we need to just play 34 conference games. Mm. Go play. There's 18 of us play, 17 of them twice. There's 34. And I know coaches get into, I need to have, some build-up games. Ask Andy Reid where his easy game is, or Matt LaFleur. Ask him which one of those 17 are easy. There aren't any. So I think when we're really looking at what we're trying to accomplish from a financial standpoint, a bottom line with revenue sharing and everything, why not tee up 34 of them and play? The Lakers don't play the Sioux Falls Skyforce.
No, they do not.
So I think that's, I see that's where we're going. When we get there, I don't know, but I wouldn't be surprised in 5 years plus or minus, we're in that type of format.
Yeah, that's a fascinating idea. I wouldn't doubt it, right? I mean, the way everything is evolving, I could certainly see that being the case. I'm just curious where my mind goes, right, is what happens to those mid-majors that want that national spotlight, right? But
or what's happening to them now? Yeah, I mean, sure. As all this goes on with the rev, as the rev share kicks into place here over the next year, you know, with the CFP and everything that's going on with that, we can – I don't think we need to hide or pretend we're something that we're not. You know, where this is going and where we're trending, you know, let's call it what it is and let's approach it like it is. Yeah. and be real about it.
A couple more for you, Greg. Really appreciate the time. Let's talk about a couple of guys you're really close to. And I want to start with a well-respected youngish coach at a well-respected university like Virginia. He steps away last week, right. You know, kind of citing everything that's going on. What goes through your mind when you see that with Tony Bennett?
I'm empathetic towards it. I understand it. But I'll be honest with you, I don't like it. And I don't like it for a variety of reasons. One, it's not good for college basketball to have somebody of that quality step away. Not only just his record as a coach, but who he is as a person, how he can impact young people's lives. It's not good. Secondly, I think having him at the forefront and on the front lines of helping shift this and get it to he mentioned we're not in a good place. True. Mm-hmm. But I think we're going to get to a better place. It's not going to happen overnight, but we're working towards it. But having him in the front line and not having him around as a voice in that regard and impacting young people every day is not good for our game. So like I said, for a variety of reasons, I understand it. I get it. Hey, all of our families have sacrificed something. I don't care if you're coaching at Virginia or Wisconsin or, you know, Rufus King High School, your family is going to pay a price for what you have to commit to be good at your profession. So we all go through that. But I understand it. I just, I don't like it because it's not good for our profession and it's not good in the short term and in the long term.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And I think that's a really good answer. But I mean, you see it around all sports, right? Like the Packers defensive coordinator, Jeff Hafley, right? He leaves the head coaching job at Boston College, given everything going on. So it's just,
I've had a lot of pro coaches tell me they'll never go or never go back to college. And that doesn't matter the sport, and that's not basketball specific. I've had pro football coaches mm-hmm. tell me the same thing. And, you know, it's just we have to get to a better spot. I think we understand, we have identified the issues, and I'm all for players making money and getting, but we don't have any, like any other pro league we talked about, whether it's collective bargaining, contracts, free agency, we have to have a structure and a governing body around it to keep the parity, quite frankly, to keep us all somewhat on a level playing field. It'll never be completely equal, but that's why the NFL and Major League Baseball and the NBA work, because there's structures and you have to follow the rules of everything that goes on within it. So we'll get there. We're not there yet, but we'll get there.
We need more people with the mindset of Greg Gard, right? Like you're embracing it, which is really awesome to hear. Let's talk something a little bit more positive though. Obviously your longtime mentor and friend, Bo Ryan, going into the the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame a couple weeks ago. How did Greg Gard celebrate?
I was out there with him. So I actually took a group of donors out to the Rutgers football game. And then we did a little NIL fundraising, you know, that's part of one of the caps you wear now. We did some of that over the weekend and then we flew to Springfield on Sunday afternoon and got a chance to be there with him. It was awesome. All Fame did a great job. I think they wore him out over the weekend, with all the events and appearances he had to make. But nobody loves a public spotlight more than Bo Ryan. So he enjoyed it. I've talked to him a time or two since he's gotten back. I had to leave right after he got inducted to fly back. You know, I'm happy for him. It's a long time coming. I got a front row seat for a vast majority of that career as a head coach. And you know, he stayed true to who he was. Or who he is. I mean, when the waters got rough, I always said that was when he really anchored to, he didn't change. He just said, we have to get better at what we're doing. And obviously to be able to do it for that length of time at a variety of schools and have that sustained success is really, you probably aren't going to see a lot of that anymore just because we are much more nomadic than maybe what we And quite frankly, schools are less patient to let somebody stay that long. But, you know, for him to do it Division III in Milwaukee, then in mid-major, and then the run we've had here in Madison has been a huge tribute. And he was the first one to thank everybody else, from the three ADs that hired him to Bill Cofield, who brought him to Madison back in the 70s, to his players, his assistant coaches, the student managers. I mean, he was very gracious with his time and his words, and he stayed on track, which is amazing. That's the first time I've only seen somebody put a clock on him twice. And the first time didn't work when we were in Platteville 1 year at summer camp. He is known for long, extensive closing ceremony speeches. And one of our assistant managers, whatever, equipment managers, tried to put a clock on him, and he dared him. And the guy had to run to the scoreboard to shut it off before the horn went off. But I joke with Bo. I said, hey, that, you know, this is the first time you've stayed on track. And he did an awesome job staying on the teleprompter and staying right on track and really hit all the right points and the right people.
Yeah, it's a Hall of Fame career without a doubt. So super well-deserved for him. Last thing for you, I'm asking all you coaches. You mentioned your team motto. Chatter don't matter. What does that mean to Greg Gard?
Just the outside noise. I mean, we see it positively or negatively every single year. We always have. I think you see a uptick in it just because of the emergence of social media. And I, quite frankly, Sam Decker was the first player I watched get affected by social media in a negative way when he was a player for us back, 10, 12 years ago. And I've just tried to always, I haven't banned our players from social media, but I've warned them of the dangers. And there's some positives of it, but I think there's so many keyboard coaches and keyboard warriors that live in ambiguity or absent, so to speak, without a name or a face attached to it, that take shots at these guys, and they gotta understand they have to regulate that and moderate that. And I try to help them with it, and it's not easy, you know, because I have my own son on the team, and anytime they're 18 to 23 years old, they're attached to these at the hip. So just helping them with that, I think, is the big thing. And like I said, it really doesn't matter what the outside world thinks. It's about what we do every day and what we can control. And it's you know, you're trying to teach life lessons through a game, and this is a quirky way of trying to teach a life lesson. Just, hey, you're going to have ups, you're going to have downs, you're going to have bad days when your spouse is ticked off at you, your kids don't do what you want them to do, or something bad happens to a family member. You have to keep moving forward and surround yourself with good people and keep working.
I could do this for another half an hour, but I know you're busy as we get ready to tip off the college basketball season. Greg Gard on Coaches Week here on ESPN Wisconsin. Greg, appreciate the time, my friend. Good luck this season. We'll see you down the line.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Alex. Talk to you soon.